Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, well, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things. It don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. An optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're just so happy that you could join us today. Kingdom of God Ministries, another beautiful day that the Lord has made. Let's give God a hand clap. Hallelujah. Amen. We are broadcasting to you live from the Community Center in Canton, Georgia, 9550 Bells Ferry Road. If you are in the location and you would like to just come by fellowship with us, feel free to do so. We meet here every Sunday at 11 a.m., praise and worship, and then we go into our direct teaching of the Word. We are calling for people. We want you. Come. Fellowship. That's what we do here at Kingdom of God Ministry. We're not a traditional church where you come, you just sit, you sit. But we ask for your divided participation in the Word and teaching and praise and worship. That's what we do. Amen. Today we will be teaching us praise as a spiritual weapon. And we know that the whole book of Psalms, David was reaching out with a sincere heart to God, just praises to God. And sometimes I have found myself going to the book of Psalms when I'm feeling down, when I'm feeling despair. I can recount and go back to some of these Psalms and it will actually give me, it will uplift depression. It will uplift a heavy heart. So I find myself, this is how Christians, we have to encourage ourselves in the Word, because just because you become a Christian, that doesn't mean that the enemy is not going to try to attack you. And he came to Job. Remember, he said, if you would take that head from away from him, Job, I would get him to cuss you to your face. But God had confidence in Job, knowing that Job was a worshiper, Job was a praiser, and that no matter what came his way, Job knew how to get the victory. So that's what we're talking about today. We praise God. God is a holy God. He is holy, 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 and this is why we praise God, because he demands our praise. We is his creation. God shouldn't be praising us, but we should be praising him. Let's go out, let's go over here to, well, first of all, let me just give you, last week we were talking about the blessings of God. A prerequisite to get the blessings of God is to praise God. So you can't get the blessings without being a praiser. Amen. Let's go on. Praise must come from the heart. That's over in Psalms 9:1. Praise must be continuous, not just when you're praising God when things are going good, but you should be continuously praising God. That's over in 1 Chronicles 16:4. Praise must be the first thing we do in worship. We cannot enter into his courts with thanksgiving without praise. We have to come into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Psalms 150 says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him, his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute, whatever that is, might be like a flute, and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with string instruments and flute. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And think about David. David was a praiser, but look at everything that David had acquired in his life. Yes, he had some hardships. He went through some struggles. But because of he was a praiser, God said he was a man after God's own heart. Do you want to be a person after God's own heart? Well, it is contributing to how you praise God. Will you praise God in the midst of adversity? Will you praise God when things are not going so well? Will you praise God when you have financial difficulty or when your children is not where they should be? Are you a praiser today? Or are you a murmurer and a complainer? If you want to get the blessings of God, that is the first prerequisite. Like I said, we must begin as Christians of God learning how to praise God. Everything we get, we should offer sacrifices and praises unto God. Praise God who he is, his faithfulness, mercy, and compassion. We have to learn, actually, we go to church, and we go to a lot of churches, but a lot of times the average person don't know how to praise God. You got to lead them into worship. They don't know how to just be spontaneous and just praise God. You know, a true praiser, you don't need a whole ensemble in the choir, or you don't need a lot of music. You don't need all that, because you can praise God in the confinements of your own home, in your car, in your bedroom. You don't need someone to push you into praise. No, it's good to come together. It's good to fellowship together. But true praisers, we have to find a way, a quiet place where we could just steal away to God and just begin to thank God for his goodness. Thank God for what he has done in our life. Did you know that praise can drive out demonic and torment spirits? Let's go over here to 1 Samuel 16:23. Yes, it can drive out demonic torment spirits. And people say, well, how do it do that? But 1 Samuel 16:23, it says, let me go here. Amen. And it was that, okay, I'll go to 22. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, please let David stand before me, for he has found favor, remember, favor in my sight. And so it was whenever the Spirit of God was upon Saul that David would take a harp and play it with his hand, then Saul would become refreshed and well and dis- stressing spirit would depart from him. So Saul, the king, would call for David because David was a praiser. David would praise God on his instrument. And because David was a praiser, that demonic spirit that was in Saul, he would be subject to the worshiping of God. So you can use praise to drive out demonic spirits. I remember this young man, he was severely demon-possessed. And, I mean, we would pray, you know, and everything, but every time we would put the music on, that would calm him down. Totally demon-possessed. And, you know, we was reaching out to his mom. She got the victory, but, I mean, this guy, he would just go into convulsions and things like that. But the only thing that would calm him would be to put praise music on. And that would calm that demonic spirit in him. Amen. Praise can break chains of bondage. Acts 16:25, talking about Paul and Silas when they were bound up in jail, how they prayed and the angels came and loosed those bondages. Let's go over here to Acts 16:25-26. Amen. Acts 16:25-26. If you have it, you can read that. Suddenly it says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. This is talk about this is in the natural and it can be in the spiritual as well. Jesus came to set the captives free. So if you bound up and you got bondages of sin and yokes and heavy burdens, a spirit of depression, oppression, you can praise your way through demonic attack, demonic oppression. Praise can break financial difficulty. Praise can overcome the enemy. That's over in Exodus 7-8. Let's go over there. I'm just showing you some different ways you can use praise when you're going through financial difficulties or when you're going through bondages. Exodus 3:7-8, it says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, which is a representation of the enemy, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hevites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, how far did I say go down? Okay, to 8. So you see, God is the one deliver you. He brings you out of financial difficulty. He brings you out of bondage. But because of that, the children of Israel began to praise God because they were seeing the victorious work. They were seeing how their lives had changed. They were seeing how God had turned situations around, how he has began to prosper them. And one thing I want to say, when God began to prosper you and you start seeing the mighty hand of God, don't turn your back on him. That's when you start praising him all the more. Because you know if it had not, let me get a drink. Sometimes you get choked up, but yeah. Don't turn your back on God. Because you know. Think, let's back up 1 year from today. Where were you at 1 year from today? But it was the praise that got you through. Some of us were depressed. Some of us was broken down, downtrodden. Don't know how we're going to make ends meet. But it was because of the praises that got us through this point. We can recount even back 20 years ago, and we see the progression of praise. How praise will get you to your next place of worship, where you need to be. And this is what I'm saying. When God starts blessing you, don't forget the praise. Don't forget to say, Lord, we worship. That's where the children of Israel messed up. Because he had delivered them. He had brought them out of Egypt. And by them not continuing in worshiping and praise, they turned their back on God. We don't want to do that. Okay, here we have Christ over here in Matthew, where Jesus said, if you don't cry out the rocks, will, if you don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. Christ, Jesus Christ was forward and willing to suffer and die for us. This is why we praise. He went forward, bound in the spirit, to Jerusalem, knowing very well the things that should befall him there. And yet he went before, ascended up to Jerusalem, Luke 19:28, that's where I'm coming out of. He was the foremost of the company as if he longed to be up on the spot. So he was saying that if you don't praise me, all I've done for you, then I can create the rocks to cry out to me. Amen? It was no way inconsistent either with Jesus' humility or with his present state of humiliation to make a public entry. That's why he told the disciples to go. He sent for them to go and fetch the donkey. The disciples of Christ who fetched that for him from others, which he has occasion for, and which they have not, should not think that enough, but whatever they have themselves, wherewith he may be served and honored. Whatever you have, he said, fetch the donkey. But whatever you have, you should be worshiping God with that. If it was a donkey and Jesus asked for it, you should be giving it to him. If it's your finances, if it's your family, your life, everything we have, we should be praising God and honoring God because he is worthy of our praise. Many can be willing to attend Christ at other people's expense who care not to be at any charge upon themselves, but those disciples not only fetch the ass, the coat, for him, but cast their own garments upon the coat and were willing that they should be used for his trappings. So this is how dedicated they was to the work of the Lord. They didn't just fetch the donkey. God don't just want you to be a pew warmer, but he wants you to find yourself whatever you need to do for the Lord's service. That's what you're going to do because it's because of his goodness. It's because of his mercy that he has bestowed these blessings upon us. Christ's triumphs are the matter of his disciples' praises. When Christ come nigh, when he came nigh to Jerusalem, God put it of a son into the heart of the whole multitude of the disciples, not just the 12 only, but abundance more that were disciples at large to rejoice and praise God. That's Luke 19:37. And in them praising God, you know the scribes and Pharisees had something to say about that. And that's why he told him, don't stop them from praising me. Because if they don't praise me, I could create rocks to cry out and praise me. So this is why we need to praise God. They both agreed to give God the glory, God the highest. There are the praises of both. Centurion, the angels say on earth, peace, rejoicing in the benefit which men on earth have by Christ. Who is man that God is mindful of him? The saints say peace in heaven, rejoicing in the benefit which the angels have by Christ. Such is the communion we have with the joy, the holy angels, that they rejoice in the peace on earth. So we rejoice in the peace in heaven, the peace God makes in his highest places. That's over in Job 25:2. And both in Christ we have reconciled all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Christ triumphs over our praises. We have to learn how to know that when you begin to praise God, this is what moves God. God is not moved by you when you sit there and people have to really actually force you to praise him, but he wants you to do it out of a pure heart, out of a gracious heart. You know, and I was driving that thinking the other day, and I was looking back over 20 years ago when we came to Atlanta. We came and we lived in a townhome or something like that. But we left our Illinois area because it was a depressed location. And at that particular time, I said, Lord, you know what? I know that if we could, just like the children of Israel, how they said milk and honey, Canaan, land of form. I said, well, if we get to a better area, I know we could prosper in that. But in that, you could see where we didn't stop praising God. We went through some hardships. We went through some difficult times. But in all that, we kept praising God. And God has elevated us. Have I arrived? No. But I can see the progression that in praising God, people used to tell us, with y'all going through all this, how are you praising him? Because praise was deep down inside. You cannot steal a praiser's praise. I don't care what they go through. They're going to still muster up the strength and just say, glory, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Because they are praisers. The devil hates praisers. Amen. Let's go on. So this is talking about how he delivered them, the children of Israel, from their bondage. Now, it happened in the process of time. The king of Egypt died, and you remember the story how the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. When you begin to praise God and you're going through some things, God will acknowledge you. God will hear you. God will come to your aid. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. You know, the enemy, he is a harsh taskmaster. And he'll put all these burdens on you. And he'll have you so weighted down and so broke down. Sometimes you don't even feel like you want to look up and see the sun because you're so broke down. This is what the enemy does. And God said, I have seen and heard their cry, so I know their sorrows. So I come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hevites and the Jebusites. We just read that. The American bondage. Bondage means the state of one who is bound as a slave. A state of subjection to a force, a power, or an influence. So you think about that, how the devil, he binds up the people. They say we have so much suicide going on now. You see how the people are going, they'll shoot up the people, and then they'll kill themselves. That is a spirit of bondage. I was sitting there looking at one of the CNN talk shows last night, and these professional doctors were talking about suicide or depression. People do not commit suicide until that depression takes over them. Well, if the church is not doing what they do need to do and help to get these people delivered, you're going to see a lot more things like this happening. They should be able to come to the body of Christ and say, look, I'm bound up with the spirit of oppression, depression. I need help. I need deliverance. You cannot just get deliverance going to church just sitting there. But sometimes you got to have that spirit of depression cast off of you, because it's a spirit, and a spirit of praise, it will lift the spirit of depression. So this is why the Lord said, I have heard their cry. In Egypt, the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage who had come down to deliver them, and God delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. So God miraculously delivered them from their bondage, spoiled them with the wealth of Egypt, destroyed their enemies, and brought them to a land of promise and a land of plenty and abundance. This is what God would do for his people. There is no lack in God. God said he will bless his people. He will call men to look upon you, and they will desire the blessings, because he's going to bless you overall. He's going to bless you in every area. So where do the fools get off believing that any form of bondage, and that just go off, spiritual bondage is the will of God? That is not the will of God. Foolish people say that. That is not God's will, that you be bound up, depressed, financially distressed. But God wanted to be in the right avenue how you get these things. I'm not going to just teach you to get the stuff, and then your spiritual life is so spiritually dead that God can't be pleased with that either. God said, I would that you prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prosper. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. He saves us, such as have a contrite spirit Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. That's Psalms 34:17-19. For the Lord God is the sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Psalm 84:11-12. You see how David was praising him? You know, people say, well, you know, he was one of the richest men ever lived, but how do you think he got to that point? See, when David was even totally ignored by his father, and they had went and they wanted someone to go before the king, they had forgot David was out there in the sheep herd praising God. David would be out there with the sheep, and his own father had even forgot about him. He put all his fine, healthy sons in front of him, and the prophet said, no, you got somebody else. He said, none but that little sheep boy out there. But see, David was spending time with the Lord. You see what I'm saying? He may not have looked to the outside appearance, you know, to be strong and buff, but to the eyes of the Lord, God said he's strong. He's powerful. That's my servant. I don't care about how the world look at me. I want to see how God look at me. And because David was spending time with the Lord, God lifted him up, and he became king. And you know the history of it. But this is what God has said. When you're in your quiet time and people don't even make notice of you, and you out there and you still doing it, you still worshiping, you still praising, God sees that. And God said, I'm going to raise you up to excellence. I'm going to raise you up high where everybody else is it, because you've been spending time with me. You've been focusing on me. You've been worshiping me. When it don't even look good, you're still worshiping me. You're still praising me. Now it's your time. I'm going to pull you out. I'm going to raise you up. This is what God has said. Praise God. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Might be a little nothing. Might not look like you know, nobody, but God said, I'm going to raise you up. Don't you worry about what men think. Because when I get through with you, everybody going to know that it's my hand that's up on you, that's resting up on you. But not forever with you, says the Lord. Praise God. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I just wanted to get that out. I just had to bring that forth. Praise God, the anointing, get on me so strong sometimes, you know. But, you know, that's what praises do, you know. You can't keep it bottled up because the praises just don't come forth. Because when you start thinking about how God been good to you, when you didn't even have a dime, God made a way. When you were sick on your deathbed, God made it. He raised you up. I cannot stop praising God. God is too awesome. God is too great. For me to sit on God. Praise God. Glory. So I'm turning it over to Pastor Bob. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the name of Jesus.
Praise.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about praise, and we're talking about praise as a spiritual weapon. One thing about it, one thing I want to bring out is this. Praise, worship is not just a bunch of words. It's not just emotion. It's not just song. It's deeper than that. Do you know what was revealed to me some time ago, the Lord revealed to me, is that the same way that sound works in this natural realm, sound also has an effect in the spirit realm. And the one sound that drives the enemy, he doesn't like it, it hurts him, it's like somebody taking a shovel and scratching it across concrete. You know how that sound just aggravates your ears hearing that screeching. It makes your teeth grit. When you hear that sound, you want it to stop. Well, that's what happens in the spirit realm when you start praising God regardless of what the enemy is doing. The enemy hates that. He doesn't want to be around that. His strength comes from what? Murmuring, complaining, talking about folks, cursing people, saying, oh, man of evil. See, the enemy, he's drawn to that. He loves that because that's from him. But when you start praising God and saying, glory, hallelujah, Lord, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the name of Jesus, the devil don't want to hear that. He don't want to hear that. That's why he puts stuff on you. Because he wants you to say things that attract him. When you praise God out of your heart, from a pure heart, the enemy, he's not attracted to that. He's not attracted to that. Saints, he's not attracted to that. So that's why we're talking about praise as a spiritual weapon. Some people say that it's not, but it is. And I'm going to bring it out. Praise has a physical effect, and praise moves God. God comes into the picture, and some good happens in your life. Many times, miracles happen in your life. Things happen that you cannot do. You can't even think to do it. You don't have the strength to do it. You don't have the withal to do it. It's beyond you. But when you pray to God and you seek God, and then after you seek God, after you pray to God, after you ask God to help you, because you have a relationship with God, you are his child, you have accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and you are actively following and worshiping God, you're keeping the commandments of God, you're living all you know how for the Lord, then when you seek God and you ask God to do something, and then you stand back after you pray and you say, thank you, Lord, you begin to praise God, you begin to lift up holy hands, God will move on your behalf. Now, I'm going to go to some scriptures, and I'm going to bring that out. I'm not just speaking words. I'm not just talking a talk. I'm giving you the truth. Now, I'm going to read to you coming out of 2 Chronicles 20 and 13. And what we're talking about, this is a common verse of scripture talking about Jehoshaphat, when three or four different nations and kingdoms came against Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Now, when these different armies came against Jehoshaphat, now, he had a reaction to that. And that reaction initially wasn't praise. It was fear. He was fearful. But in his fear, he did not fall back on human means. He fell on the Lord. He called out to the Lord, and he spoke to God and spoke to God and said, Lord, you gave us this land in so many words. You told us that when things come against us, we can call on your name and you will come and help us. You will come and deliver us from our problems because we worship you. We are your children and we honor you. We keep your commandments. We live according to your word, Father God. So therefore, I can't handle this. Jehoshaphat looked out. He saw all these armies surrounding his land. He said, God, I can't win this thing. I need you. I don't have the strength. I can't do it. Sometimes we need to get to that point. Drop our pride, forget our pride, and say, God, I can't do this. I need you. I will be destroyed if you don't help me. Lord, help me. When you do that, he'll come in. Now, when Jehoshaphat said that, remember, this is a situation that Judah could not handle. They could not win this battle on their own. They were sorely outnumbered by people who were warriors, and many times they were warriors that were stronger and mightier than them. So, in other words, it was a battle that they could not win in the natural. There are things that will happen in your life, people, that you cannot win in the natural. You have to turn to God. You need to turn to God because he is the only one that can set you free and deliver you and break the bondages off of you. He's the only one that can set you free. Yes, there are some things that you can't handle, that you can handle yourself, but there are some things that you can't handle. And if you try to deal with something that you cannot handle, you will be destroyed because there's a spiritual force behind that thing, and that spiritual force is the devil. And you cannot defeat the devil without God. You can't do it. It is an impossibility. It is an impossibility. And I'm saying this to all the listeners out there and to America, the things that are coming on the land, will, you will not win via natural means. You need to call upon the Lord. And when you call upon the Lord, then you pray God for your deliverance. All the chaos that's going on in the nation, why is it going on? It's going on because people have kicked God out of their life, have kicked Christ out of their life. You can go to school, you can go to various colleges of the land, and you can talk about anything you want to talk about. But if you start talking about Jesus, if you put some fires up about Jesus, about God, oh, you got a problem. You can talk about Buddha, you can talk about Islam. You can talk about whatever you, Satanism, witchcraft, Wicca, whatever. You can talk about that. But when you start talking about Jesus Christ and righteousness and the way you should live according to the scripture, you have a problem. And then we wonder why we have what we have in the country. Well, what do you think is going to happen when you think you can do whatever you want to do and nothing is wrong? Everything is right according to our people's sight. Well, you have just what you have. But what I'm saying is we need to turn to God because the things that's happening upon the land, the only God can handle them. Only God has the answer for those things. Now, and that's the same thing that was happening with Jehoshaphat, but they were coming to take them out. See, one thing I got to say is that many times the kind of praise that God really, really honors is the praise that you give when you're under fire. The praise and the worship that you give when you look out and nothing is going right. The praise that you give when you're flat on your back in a hospital. The praise that you give when things are going wrong, when people are talking about you, when people are treating you bad, but yet you pray to God, and then after you prayed and asked him to help you, then you stand back and you start praising God even before you get the victory. You're praising God. God moves in that. That's why we're talking about praise as a spiritual weapon, because it's something that you can use, that you can speak with your own mouth that the devil can't stand. He don't want to be around that. But let's go to the scripture. Now, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Kohites stood up to praise the Lord, to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Many times, praise and worship is not necessarily the same thing. Worship is what you do when you leave the church. It's how you live your life. It's what you do when you're not in the church. So you can worship God and not make a sound. You can worship God within yourself. You can worship God in your actions, but when it comes to praise, it says, and with a loud voice on high. In other words, they didn't care who heard them. Now, when it comes to praise, there's also a place to praise. Now, you wouldn't go to work, hear me, you wouldn't go to work and you wouldn't get on your job and you wouldn't get on your job and just go up in there and just start praising God out loud, real loud, at your workplace. You wouldn't do that. That's not the place to do that. But you can still praise God. You can go out at work. You can go to your car. You can go somewhere where you got a little private place, and you can praise God. God hears that. But when you get to the house of God, then that's the place where you can truly praise God on high. You can praise Him loud if you want to. Now, some places, you know, they don't like that. They don't want you to praise God. But when you get into the house of God, that is the place where you can effectively praise God. Now, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established, believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers. Wow! He's getting ready to go to war, and he didn't put his best warriors forth. He didn't put the archers forth. He didn't put the spearmen forth. He didn't put the foemen forth. He put forth the singers. Now, I wonder where he got that from. That's some military tactic that I've never heard of before. He says he sent forth the singers. He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." So Jehoshaphat sent his praises and his singers before the army, and they were going out there saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." And that's what they were doing. That's what they were saying. That's what they were singing. That's what they were saying. Now they went out before the army. God gave Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, instructions to send the army of praise first before the natural. You see what he did? He sent the spiritual aspect first before the natural army. Now, there's one thing I want to bring out. Let's see here. Before I go any further, God already told the people of Israel, the people of Judah, Jehoshaphat, he told them this, 20 and 15 reasons. And he said, "Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of the multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God." Now, God didn't tell him how he's going to do that. Now, down in 21, he's telling them how to do it. Now, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set, ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which will come against Judah, and they were smitten. And check out what they did. When they started praising God, when they started singing, when they started lifting up the name of God, Yahweh Yah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, look at what happened. The children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. In other words, when they started praising God, the enemy turned in on themselves. The enemy started fighting themselves. They start destroying themselves. When you start to praise in God, it puts chaos in the camp of the enemy. Not sometimes, all the time. Why do you think in many congregations, the first organization that is attacked in many congregations is the praise and worship team? Why do you think that is? Because if the enemy can get in the praise and worship team and put, how you say, some poison in that or some leaven in that, that's going to hinder the movement of the Spirit. And if the movement of the Spirit is hindered, then the enemy can come into church and do what he wants to do. So he wants to get in the choir. He wants to stop that praise because he can't stand it, because he remembers what praise does to him. When you stand up and praise God, children of the Most High God, it puts the enemy in derision. It confuses him. He can't stand that. And many times he turns on himself. he turns on himself. Now, if he's turning on himself, what does that mean? That means he's not attacking you. Huh? That's what that means. Now, I'm going to read some more. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. All those three nations, all those armies had killed themselves before Judah even got on the scene. Before Judah even got on the scene, they had destroyed themselves. Why did they destroy themselves? Because they heard the sound of prayers through the air and it sent confusion and chaos through the midst, and they turned on each other. They turned on each other. They turned on each other, and they destroyed themselves. God will win battles for you. Sometimes you call yourself preparing for something that God has already dealt with. Because you have prayed and you praise God, and God say, okay, oh, yeah, well, no, that's going to hurt them. No, they can't win that battle. No, I'm going to go ahead on and take care of this. And when you get there, it's already done. It's already taken care of. The enemy has already been dispatched. The enemy has already been dispatched. You see him laying over there. Wait a minute, what happened to him? Well, you prayed and you praised God. And God took him out for you. You ain't got to worry about him no more. Go on and pray some more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, glory to God. Now listen. Now listen to this. There are benefits to praise. There are benefits to worship. Let me read. Now this is in the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament now. So we're in in grace, and it's much better now because of Christ Jesus. But let me say, bring this out. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them an abundance, both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off of themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days, took them 3 days in gathering of the spoil. There was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berachah. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berachah unto this day. So after that, they praised God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. They praised God going into the battle, and they praised God coming out of the battle. But during the battle, when they won, God blessed them with the spoils of battle of the people that were trying to take them out. These people, these different nations, came to take out Judah. They wanted to take out Judah. They wanted to steal from them. But what happened? They came, they were destroyed, and the children of God got their stuff. But the only way they got it was through God, was through Christ. Because, see, I'm going to say something. Sometimes we think that we have the answer, and sometimes we do. But there are many times we don't have the answer, and God will tell us something, but he won't tell you exactly what to do until you get to the place where you need to do something. Then he won't tell you what to do. Because it's what? It's all by faith. If you know everything, you're not exercising faith. The only time you truly exercise faith is when you don't know. Said, what are you talking about? Well, what I'm saying is, if you don't know how to do a thing, and God has given you to do that, and you don't know how, then that means you have to have faith in God and trust in God to do it, because you can't. You don't know how. Jehoshaphat and Judah, they didn't know how to defeat that enemy. Jehoshaphat and Judah could not defeat that enemy. They didn't have the weather, they didn't have the people, they didn't have anything that it took to defeat those armies. But they had faith in God, and God told them what to do. Now, that's direct evidence of the power of praise and what happens when you praise God. Now, if you notice, that was a dire situation. Everything wasn't looking good. It wasn't peaches and cream and, you know, they stuff. People was trying to kill him. People was trying to kill him, wanted to take him out. They didn't come and say, well, we're going to have a party and we're going to make an agreement with y'all because we want to, you know, we want to live in peace. They said, no, we want to take you out. But they started to pray and they praised God. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is many times we have to offer up a sacrifice of praise. And when I say sacrifice of praise, I mean you praise God when you don't want to. Now, when you are a praiser, it's a little easier to do. When you're not a praiser, then that's a real sacrifice because you're looking at what's happening. Many people would have looked at that army and they would have ran the other way. Or they would start complaining. They would start mouthing, we're going to die. No. Do that. They praise God. Now, I'm going to go to another aspect in the New Testament, but what I want to bring out in reference to praise, in reference to praise as a weapon, is that any weapon that you have, you have to use it. If you don't use the weapon that you have, even though it's there, and you don't use it, it's not going to benefit you. To give you an example, if you know Kung Fu, Karate, or any martial arts, you know this. And four or five guys are going to jump on you. Well, if you don't use your art, even though you know it, you're going to get beat up. So what am I saying? If you know, since you know that praise can be a weapon, use it. Don't complain when trouble comes your way, and trouble will come your way. Don't say the things that draws the enemy to you. Don't do that. Don't murmur. Don't complain. Don't cry. Now, God understands that when bad things happen, you're going to hurt. When stuff come against you, you're going to be fearful. You might say, why, what, for, ouch, this hurts. God has no problem with that. But when you start getting into murmuring, complaining, then you're going to open up like what we said earlier, depression's going to come in there, and then next thing you know, you're not going to remember or see anything that God has ever done for you, and you're going to give up, and you're going to say, okay, enemy, come on and take me out. That's what you're saying. That's what he's looking at. But when you pray to God and you praise God, then you're going to remember the good things that God did to you. You're going to remember when God brought you up out of this thing, when God brought you out of that thing, and that's going to produce more praise in you. And then you're going to think of another good thing that God did for you. Then that's going to produce more praise in you. Then you're going to look around you, and you're going to see the goodness of God. And then that's going to produce more praise in you. And the devil is over there saying, shut him up! Shut him up! I can't stand it! Stop praising God. Oh, Lord, I got to go. When you really praise, and that's what happened. You said, we just read it. That praise drove them crazy. That praise made them lose their mind. They come now to destroy God's people and destroy themselves. Because the praise of God went out and it messed their minds completely up. They couldn't even remember what they were there for. They were looking at themselves as the enemy. Wait a minute. But what? You said what? And they start killing each other. Remember that. Now I'm going to bring something else out in Acts 16, and then I'm going to be out your way. And what I want to bring out is sometimes we as children of the Most High God, we have to worship, we have to praise God, we have to seek God even to our physical, even in our physical affliction. Even when things is going horribly wrong, we still praise God. Now I'm going to bring something out. And these, the kind of what I'm getting ready to read now out of Acts 16, starting at the 23rd verse. I'm going to start right there. But it was when Paul and Silas, they were at Philippi. They cast the devil of divination off a young lady, and the folks got mad because they set somebody free. They got cast a devil or demon out of somebody, and the populace got mad about it and threw them in jail. Yeah. So they couldn't take that. You say, you stopped our money flow. You know, this woman going around prophesying to folks, and we making money off of her, and they come up in here, and they cast this demon out this girl, and now she can't tell that no more. We got to get rid of them. So they threw Paul and Silas in jail. And not only did they throw them in jail, but look at what they did to them. They said, Acts 16:23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe. Now, they didn't just throw them in jail, but they whipped them. Now, we know what a whip will do to you. They whipped them. They put many stripes on them, and then they threw them in jail. Now, who, having received such a charge, throws them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks? In other words, they put them in the deepest part of the prison. They sure they weren't going to come out. They sure they weren't going to come out. And they made, in other words, they chained their feet fast in the stocks. Now, look at what they had been whipped, thrown into the inner prison. But what did Paul and Silas do? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. Their backs have been torn up. Their legs are in stocks. They're chained to the wall. In the deepest part of the prison, it's dark, it's dank. They may have had rats running around in there. And what are they doing in there? Are they not in there saying, oh, man, this is really messed up. I mean, why did this have to happen to us? We were preaching the gospel. We cast a demon out this girl. No, they didn't do that. They were praying, and they sang praises unto God to the extent that the prisoners heard them. In other words, they were loud with their praise. They were bold with their prayer. They were loud with their praise, and the prisoners heard them. Now, what happened after the prisoners heard them? After their praise went forth, it says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. And everyone's hands were loose. When they started praising God, you see what happened? Not only were they set free, but everybody in the prison was set free. All the doors were loosened, and every chain that had them bound hand and foot were loose. God loosed everybody in that prison because Paul and Silas praised and praised God. The keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been freed. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? We don't know the effects of our prayer sometimes and our praise. You see, because others are listening and others are hearing what you're doing. And when you submit yourself to God and when you praise God, it's like a weapon, an awesome of the spirit world. It's like a weapon, and it works against the enemy. You see, praise works against the enemy. It works against the enemy. It's like an offensive weapon. It goes out against the enemy. And you can be bound up, you can be chained up, you can be tied up, you can be attacked, whatever. But when you start to praise the Lord, things start to happen. When you start to praise the Lord, deliverance starts to happen. When you start praising God, salvation rises up in a person, and people begin to see God. You see what happened here? But if Paul and Silas had went to the way of the world and started murmuring and complaining, looking at the situation, saying what is, this would not have happened. There would not have been an earthquake. There would not have been a great shaking. This jailer and his family wouldn't have gotten saved. None of that would have happened. So when we say praise as a spiritual weapon, it is. It is. It may not be the same as the sword of the Spirit or some of the other things that God has given us in his arsenal, but it is a weapon. Now, there are times when, yeah, you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to cast out the devil. When you're coming against foul spirits, you're not going to praise the devil out of anybody. I want to say that. When somebody's demon-possessed, you're not going to praise the devil out of them. There's a different way to deal with that. You got to come at that in the name of Jesus Christ and call that thing. I didn't tell you to come out in the name of Jesus. But that surrounded by praise greatly weakens the enemy and makes it easier for this thing to come out. Yeah, just like the scripture says, they can't stand that praise. They cannot stand true praise and worship. So, at that, we just wanted to bring that out. I want all of you to say, and the reason I said that is because we just talked about depression a little while ago. We just about talked about the depression. We just talked about oppression. And all those things, what we just mentioned, are conditions of what? The mind. You have something telling you nothing is going to work out. You might as well give it up. It ain't going to never work for you. You're nothing. Everything you try to do is a failure. You can't do this. You can't do that. Go on and jump off the bridge. Don't nobody care anyway. I mean, you just heard somebody say the other day they wish you was dead. You know, that's what you have going on all the time in your mind. A spirit of depression is going to always bring you depressed things, going to always tell you negative things. Now, if you accept that in your mind, well, he's going to bring other things like murder, like suicide. But if he comes to you and you have the strength to call upon God, and then you have the strength to praise God, then you're going to listen to one or the other. If you're calling on God, that means you're listening to God. You're seeking an answer from God. When you start to praising God, you're giving God thanks for the things he's already done for you, so you're not listening to depression. You're not listening to what the devil is saying. So you're getting the victory because God has already provided that for you. So we want to thank God for everyone that listened on today, because we want you to know and realize that praise is as a spiritual weapon. And don't listen to the enemy. Don't listen to his lies. Don't even look at what he's doing. Even if you see what he's doing and you see that it may be true, but that doesn't mean that it's going to take you out. Fact and truth are two different things. Facts might be you might have an enemy surrounding you. But the truth says that enemy is not going to take you out. Fact might say you might have cancer. You might have a disease. That's what the fact might say. But the truth will say that Jesus Christ is a healer and he can deliver you from that. Fact might say that you are in financial difficulty and there is no way out. But the truth of the Lord is saying that he can raise you up and provide what you need. That's the truth. But we want to thank God for everything that's gone forth, and we're going to close our program on today. And we want you all to be with us next week at this same time, 11:30. Broadcast God Talk Radio program. If you want to visit, you can come to 9550 Bells Ferry Road in Canton, Georgia. If you have a desire to give a love offering, you can go to www.kogm.net. There is a PayPal button there, and you can donate through that button. We want to bless you all. Be with us again on next Sunday, and I'd like to end with a prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that you bless all the listeners on today. We come against every spirit of oppression. We come against every spirit of depression. We come against anything that's not like God. We come against spirits of iniquity, spirits of infirmity. We bind them up. We come against disease, sickness. We bind them up and we cast it out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, we ask that you touch everyone, listen, give them the revelation of your word. Speak to them, Father God, what they need to prosper and be in good health, even as their soul prosper. Bless them, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.